As you all know, I'm Kathy Bazalinski, and I've been working for this department about 8 years now. First off, I'd like to thank Myra for her support. She kind of laid out where we were coming from on this. And we do appreciate that the county went through an evaluation of job positions and descriptions. And like Margaret said, when it came to our evaluations, we were a little thrown off by some of the things that were lacking in the job description for environmental specialists. And one of the items that I questioned right off the bat, and something that was said about the type of job, is that we were listed as more of a technical versus a professional position. And in all the years I've worked in public health, that's the first time that's ever come up before. So I guess what Matt and I are thinking is that if we present to you information on the type of work that we do on a daily basis and what we're involved with, that would strengthen our position as we go forward, because we do question the job description and feel that it should be a little bit more, have more than what it says right now. We're just looking for the board to be a sounding board and our advocate as we go forward with this. And I'll just preface before Matt goes on about what specifically we do. I've always, in this position, one of the main things that we do, other than regulate and enforce the state laws, is we educate the public. And I would say about 90% of our work is education on the topics that we deal with. And I just don't ever see a teacher being called a technician. And that's kind of where I feel like we're at right now. So with that being said, I'm going to turn it over to Matt, because he did a little survey, and we'll talk about the things that we're doing right now.
Well, like Kathy said, that last sheet there, like it's the last one in your packet, kind of just a quick breakdown of some of the stuff that we do. The rate on education, as you know, they have a bill right now that they're trying to pass that would require testing in the schools and mitigation, and it also includes, starting January of 2015, that a PASTE system would have to be installed in any new construction. And since that everything's new to that, I'm not sure exactly if they're going to pass, if they're going to do any inspection of the system when it's installed, and if the state is going to do that, or if they're going to pass it to the local, so that may become more of a program. The Healthy Homes Initiative, that basically covers like the calls that we get from renters of issues with mold or any problems that they're having with the landlord. Pumper inspections, we just started that last year, and that's the septic pumpers that we inspect the land app sites, if they do any land app. the equipment that they have. The septic, the issuance of repair permits. Margaret does the full permit, but we are able to do the repair permits at like a time of transfer if the distribution box is damaged or whatever. Final inspections, assisting with the contractors with any issues that arise during the installation. Discharger sampling. Wells, the initial site review for permits, issuance of permits, inspection during and after drilling. Water sampling, well plugging and rehab before and after inspections. Administrating the grants to county program, and then the time of transfer inspections that is required by county ordinance. The manure management plans, we are now taking those in our office instead of in the auditor's office, and we're doing just the basic review of the application, checking to make sure that if they, just double checking what we have on record for land app sites and adding and subtracting as need be. The record keeping, I have one file cabinet that's just full of manure management plans, because some of them are like that thick, and those are, you know, turned in all the time. We do the review of the zoning applications when they come in. Kristen will forward them to us, and we just review if it's like an addition to a house to make sure that they're not putting the new house over top of their laterals or tank or whatever. And if it's a new house, we make sure that they're pulling the permits from us that they need. We do quite a bit of work in GIS, the mapping software that we use. And then starting in July, the pool, tattoo, painting, public nuisance. And for the pool, Kathy and I just went through the certified pool operator course. And then that's going to require 10 hours of continuing education every 5 years, CPR and first aid every 2 years. For the tattoo inspections, we'll have to have the bloodborne pathogens annually. Also, we have to have 12 hours of continuing education and Iowa Environmental Health Association approved courses so that we can the grants to county money that we use for the water sampling and the plugging and rehab reimbursements. We have to have 12 hours of education, each one of us, and that to be able to do that program. The chart there, I just sent out a quick email to most of the 99 counties, and I think I ended up with 34 responses back, and most of them are on here. Some of them, some of the counties that you sent out to, or I sent out to, just they don't do any in-house. They contract with another county to do all their stuff, so letters are basically thrown out. But I just listed out, I think, 12 of the major programs that Environmental Health does, and as you can see, not every county does each program, and it was a way for me to kind of equate the counties that were responding with us as to what they do, because you can see some of them don't do the pumper inspections, radon, many of them don't do the lead, and if you break that down for the average per program, it works out a little over $4,900 per program. And we, out of on this list, we do 11 of those programs. And if you figure that out, it was just a way to kind of equate everything. And then on that bottom left is where grade 9 is what they categorize this at. And that goes from just over $40,000 to $60,617. And there's 10 steps in there, and each step is $2,020 per step. And right now, Kathy and I are both, of course, Kathy's been here longer than I have, so she's up a little bit higher than I am, but we're both within that first and second step. So even after 8 years, you know, she's still at the lowest part.
And you are both full-time, correct?
Yep. So, you know, I've been here, it'll be 3 years in July, she's been here 8, you know, and especially for her being cord down bottom of that range just isn't right.
So can I, you know, I mean, I must admit, I sat on this board for years, and there's no question at all about what you do.
Mm-hmm.
And I also know, too, that you're going to have more responsibilities, especially.
Mm-hmm.
What are you proposing?
A lot of what we're looking at is the job description. You know, it doesn't, especially now that we're going to add the tattoo pool and tanning, that needs to be put on here because, like, especially down the road 2 years, if one of us were to leave and to bring somebody else in, to be a pool inspector, you have to be a certified pool operator. So, you know, something like that needs to be put in to.
And I think, too, when we, because this goes back to before Matt even started, when they started going over the job descriptions, we started with one company and then switched to another. And maybe that's where things were kind of lost in the translation. Because I honestly don't feel they quite understood the scope of what we did. And I know when I reviewed the job description, I did check off that I didn't feel it was quite right. But I never... until I saw the pay grade, unfortunately for me, I didn't, you know, think to pursue it. I thought, you know, something would happen where somebody would come talk to me or whatever. But so, you know, I take fault for that too.
And you look at some of the other job descriptions that they even have under the essential functions, maintain website. You know, so it's really not as in depth as that, but. It does mean a few things, and I checked that box too on the you guys probably don't know, Paul knows, but they sent out a thing, you know, how you basically felt about your job description and if there was anything you wanted to add, and then they had a little place to check if you wanted to discuss the job description with Springstead. Well, I know there were several that, like Matt Emerson, who's not here anymore, that he was in IT, and he had checked that, and they brought him up, sat down with him, discussed the whole job description, and, you know, nobody ever approached us or really involved us at all throughout the whole process. It was, you know, they sent out that thing, and then they had, basically the next thing we knew was in July when they had the final report.
So you want a more accurate job description,
mm-hmm.
which is a very, very reasonable thing. You know, it's always a good, in my opinion, it's always a good idea to have a good job description, and the people who do the job is probably one of the best.
Mm-hmm. And the description goes along with the pay grade. You can't have, the job description goes along with the pay grade, because you can't have a pay grade of 12 and you only have two things in a description. You know, it just doesn't justify each other.
And there's something you mentioned, too, about being put in as a technician versus a specialist. Did I say that? Or how
no, a professional.
Professional.
Excuse me. So what does that, what are we involved with that? It's like, is that part of the pay grade thing? Or
I from my understanding, that is something that was said about this job description, that it was more technical than professional. Now, I don't know where that came from. I would call it professional, always been professional. So I would say if technical is going to become an issue, I would not want to be called a technical.
If it was my guess, I would say it was because of the nature of the work that you do.
You did stuff. Yeah.
But generally, when you think of somebody with a technical background, they specifically go to, say, a vocational-type background and get into the field. And I don't see our job as being that. I mean, we have to have a background in chemistry, biology, physics, math, writing skills. I mean, we deal with the public every day, more so than some of the other departments, and then we have to enforce what we say, but also tell them why they have to do it and follow up on it. So, to me, it is a professional job.
Technical. I would think if we were just going out and doing septic measurements every day on installations and nothing else, just going out and getting the measurements, coming back, that's a technical.
I'm telling you, go out, get those measurements, bring the measurements back to me. That would be more technical. But you're also interpreting.
Yep.
And you're also making judgment calls.
Yep, and writing a letter if something's wrong.
I guess I wasn't aware that you guys had not been given the opportunity to sit down with Springstead, but and just so the rest of the board knows, we did hire an outside firm to come in and do a compensation survey. The county did. The county hadn't had one done since, I think, probably 1991. So we hired Springstead. I think that we sent out requests for proposals. And Springstead was chosen. They came in just over a year ago and started their work and completed and had a report for us by July. I've got a copy of the draft report here. They sent out questionnaires to several different counties and municipalities around the state and asked to try to get comparisons to what we do here. You know, if you guys want to bring this forward to the board, I think you're going to have to convince the Board of Supervisors. What's changed between now and July when the board adopted this? And I think you're going to have a hard sell. I'm just telling you.
But we're also confused too, because if you read the code for the Board of Health, you guys are technically the control. You guys hire, employ. Is this something that the job description should be left up to you guys?
And maybe Dr. Passion can, or Dr. Kluge can help me out a little bit. It was my understanding that some years ago the Board of Health decided to turn the personnel, the day-to-day personnel of the Environmental Health Department over to the county.
But that was Warren County. The Supreme Court of Iowa decided that the Board of Health does not have that authority to relinquish.
But you'd rather take your chances with this board.
We need some direction, because we're kind of lost in limbo trying to figure out where
Yeah, I guess I wasn't aware of that either. So this is, if you know, we'll have obviously have to.
Because I think when Matt refers to that decision, it was basically that the Board of Health sets policy, chooses staff, and sets salaries. That's what they came down and said. But the Board of Supervisors sets the county budget. So that's where that interaction comes in.
So anything that we say has to be done. So anything we say, like if we come out and say, okay, you should all get a $5,000 raise or change your, especially for if it has anything to do with money, they have to find where the money is, and if we don't have it, we can't do it.
Yep. Because the supervisor is the public person.
Make recommendations to the Board of Supervisors that this is what we recommend, but if they don't have the money, they can't do it.
I'm not sure.
I think that's what you're talking about, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep. That's my understanding is because they have that little handout thing. You know, what was it? The 10 rules for the Board of Health. Yeah, so that's basically what it says in there. That the Board of Health gets to make the decisions, but the purse strings are controlled by the Board of Supervisors. And that was, you know, it came down that Warren County. I don't know if you know anything about that. That was several years ago where the Board of Health fired the sanitarian. The Board of Supervisors hired and said, no, he's not fired. And then it ended up going to the Supreme Court, and they ruled that the Board of Health don't have the authority to relinquish because it is in the code that they are the ones that control that.
I always thought that that's exactly what we did. We said, you know, we usually got the sanitarian would come up with a recommendation, and we'd say, okay, that sounds good to us, and we'd bring it to the Board of Supervisors, they make the final approval. But it did come from us first.
Well, I mean, that's like when Margaret brings the budget to this board before it goes to the Board of Supervisors. And there's never been salaries included in that because none of the county departments include salaries at the time of the budget. Mm-hmm. Typically what we'll do is we'll wait and see what's left over or what capacity we have for any type of a cost of living increase. So...
But wouldn't the job description, wouldn't it really fall under our guidance?
Yeah, I would assume so. I mean, it's possible that we could have, you know, left you guys out when we had, you know, hired Springstead to come in and left it to the Board of Health to set your job description. I mean, I guess that's something that the Board of Supervisors will have to have a discussion with, and I would assume with somebody from the county attorney's office to see exactly what the Board of Supervisors' authority is. It's no different than environment or emergency management.
That's what I was thinking.
We're required to fund the emergency management at whatever the commission suggests the Board of Supervisors is.
Because their commission set their salaries and everything. I guess it's something that, you know, at least it's a stepping point to get more information, you know, like from the attorney and stuff on where everything actually sits. But at least we've got it in front of you.
Yeah, and we would appreciate your review and advocacy on this.
So what it sounds like what you're really asking, and I want to make sure that I have the question right, is you really want to put more of the supervising capacity onto us, salary, job description, and even if you come to us with a job description, we approve it, and then the Board of Supervisors hopefully will just stamp their approval on it.
Mm-hmm.
Is that what I'm hearing?
Yep.
What's their procedure to get their job description reviewed? Do they have to go to...
I guess we'll have to figure out what if the county attorney tells the Board of Supervisors that, yeah, technically you probably don't have any authority to set a job or set the job description, it'll have to come back to the Board of Health and start over from there. The problem is that the Board of Health doesn't have any funding mechanism, and the county will have to pay for that study that we've paid for once. It may not be Springstead, it may be a different company that does it.
Well, I don't really think it needs to go that deep, does it?
I don't know how else you would do it. I mean, that's why we hired an outside contractor. So the three of us and the HR director didn't sit around and decide what, you know, whether we thought the job descriptions were accurate or not. You know,
there's no mechanism to go back to Springstead or whoever they are and say, hey, we've got an appeal.
Yeah. Well, we can have a discussion with them, and you know, I know that there was a couple of positions that had questions on it, and you know, talked to Springstead about it. But like I said, I wasn't aware that you guys were one of them, and that you didn't have the opportunity not to meet with them. So.
No, I was reviewing my form, and I had checked it off, and I guess I don't know where we fell through the cracks, but we did.
Well, and it wasn't that we didn't know the whole timeline of the whole thing. You know, we didn't get a daily update. Okay, this is where we are. You know, so it's like, well, which is what it was like a 6 month thing altogether. When they finally came up with the, because I think we had the review things in September, and then July they had the final. So it's like, you know, we didn't know to expect somebody to come down on this day, and then all of a sudden they have a final report. So we couldn't say, hey, what about me?
So what does your job description have to look like? Does it look like something like this?
There's a copy of the actual. You know, just
that's
it. Ah, got it. Ah, very good.
So what in this do you think is inaccurate?
But it does need to have the CPO, the certified pool operator. That does need to be in there, because, like I said, if one of us were to leave and go to hire somebody else, for them to be able to do pool inspections, they've got to be able or be a certified pool operator after, or at least after they're hired. You know. To be able to go out and do those inspections, so you know, that's something that needs to be in there, like under the special requirements.
Right.
See, this what I'm reading, these essential functions, is really very broad. You got very specific on what you said.
Yeah.
But these are very broad, and except for the certified pool operator, it sounds like everything could be considered in there.
Mm-hmm.
Feed it, and I have a feeling that that's what they want to do. They want to make sure to make it very broad.
Yeah,
right.
But there's,
I think I'm a certified pool operator. You guys recently did that training.
Yep.
So does, in the scenario that you gave, that if someone were to replace you, does that person necessarily have to have that, or could they just go to the similar training?
They could go to the similar training, but it would be something that they would be required. You know, it's like within so many, you see that all the time, within so many months of hire. Yeah. Or if it's something that they I don't know, under the CPO, if they've had one in the state and they got revoked because, you know, and they can't ever get one again, you don't want to hire that person. You know, so that's something.
And sure. And that wasn't an issue before.
Correct.
Because you guys weren't doing those.
Yep.
And, you'll start doing them July 1st. We've always had somebody else do them. And I think it's Hardin County, isn't it? Greenbelt?
Mm-hmm.
Going to do it. And Margaret approached us about doing it. I think, well, she approached this board, too. About taking over those inspections since they're done here in the county.
I think the language about the, you know, the technical versus professional has to be changed out. And then in reviewing the planner's description, for example, there was just embellished a lot more. You know, it's a lot more was written about each
task, and I think if someone were to read that and try to assess a pay grade, they would it would just look like there was more being done by that department or by a planner versus an environmental specialist. So it just seems like maybe if we could expand on some of these, add a few things, and then change out the technical versus professional language, that would help this, yes.
And by technical, you mean the first sentence in general definition of work?
Yes, there starts off with
technical work supporting environmental circumstances.
And whereas the planners, they start off with, it's a professional position. They actually use the word professional there. I didn't bring it up with me, but,
there says performs intermediate professional work, conducting short, medium, and long-range land use and development planning activities, including comprehensive planning, development, proposal review, land use regulations, implementations. And again, that was something that was arrived upon by the company that did the study.
Yeah.
Based on the type of work.
Looking at our job descriptions, the two of them side by side, and then just seeing, their daily functions and our daily functions, I just think that we need to be paid more equitably. It's just we see day to day, month to month, year to year, what the two departments do, and we should be paid at least what they're getting paid. Yep.
So above and beyond the changing the environmental health specialist job description, what are you proposing for pay? I mean, you guys probably have some idea.
Mm-hmm. I would like to see $45,000. Mm-hmm.
What do you make now? So that would be just a little bit below the mid range, right? This stuff.
Yeah. So below is $40,411.
Mm-hmm. And you'd be kind of up closer more to the moderate. Okay.
And that's just my idea. You should probably ask them. I should zip it and let Kathy talk.
I guess I would have no problem for changing the general definition of work. We could even put something in performs intermediate professional as well as intermediate skilled professional as well as technical work supporting. I mean, things like that. I think that's very reasonable. I would think so.
Interestingly, if you look up the definition of professional, it gives technical. They're interchangeable if you look up the definition.
I mean, I think of a surgeon.
Yeah, but for some reason, this is hurting us having that word in that job description.
Is it?
Yeah, from what I understand.
Well, from a long history of experience with writing these things for people to then review and plug them into their little boxes, one word makes a lot of difference between which box they fall in, and it's probably the technical in the first sentence puts you in a box. And just striking that word will probably make the difference. And whether you put professional in there or whatever other word you substitute, it'll...
I would be in favor of that. Yeah. Maybe we can make a new word.
Yeah.
Technical. And as for the essential functions, I think these were purposely written very vaguely. I mean, that's when I read these, that's kind of my opinion.
And I think what hurt us on that is that they weren't more specific. If we had been more specific, it might have actually helped us. So
I think they're well written, and it gives you the broad.
Mm-hmm.
Get them too tight, then you wind up you're cutting people out that would apply for the job.
Well, thank you.
So where do we go with this?
I'll have to have a conversation with with the county attorney, first of all, and see where they think that this board's authority stops and the Board of Supervisors' authority starts. And then I think we'll probably have to have a discussion with the Board of Supervisors about the concerns from the staff and go from there. So, and this isn't necessarily an action item, so I don't think we don't need to take any action on it.
Is there a way that we could make sure, is because my memory is not good from meeting to meeting, that this could be on the agenda that we talk
sure.
about?
Sure. Chris, you want to make a note of that and make sure we'll have a discussion item for next
see
time?
See where we're at with it?
Yep.
Because there's a good chance I might forget.
Sure. Okay. Anybody have anything else? Okay, the next is agency and departmental reports, youth and shelter services. There you go.
Okay, good afternoon. You have two reports in front of you. One of them is our basic quarterly report from the second quarter, since we just finished the third one. We're not quite done with that, but it gives you a rundown of just about everything that has happened in the prevention department at YSS during the second quarter, so October, November, December. And as you can see, we do our usual working in a lot of schools, presenting a lot of community education. I personally talk to a lot of Iowa State classes during the quarter, aside from my Iowa State job. But that gives you a rundown, and it's pages long, so we won't go through it line by line. But you can read it at your leisure. Light reading. The second article, or the second piece, I think, is what is more timely and what we're excited about, and we have talked to you about this before, that we have been working on a nicotine ordinance for the county, and we presented on that earlier in the fall, saying that we were working on this with the county attorney. To refresh your memories, this is something that the folks from Linn County came to us last year and said that this was something that they had instilled in Linn County in an effort to get the new nicotine products behind the counter, because a lot of nicotine products are coming out that are not necessarily smoked tobacco kinds of nicotine products, and that they were readily available to not just the public, but younger public. So, whereas tobacco now is required to be behind the counter in stores so that it's not easily shoplifted and or acquired by young people, these new nicotine products don't have that kind of regulation, do not have that kind of stipulation. So Linn County did that, where they instituted an ordinance, a countywide ordinance that allowed them to do that, and they were very successful with that, and they've been very happy with the ordinance. They had, what they discovered was they needed to hook on an amendment. So when they brought it to us, what they had were the two, the initial and the amendment. And what they recommended to us was that we put those together and not make it a one-two punch. So we've been working with the county attorney's office to get the language together on that, and actually just polished that off last week. This is mostly the finished product, but County Attorney Steve Holmes is going to go back into the code and see where the numbers would lie. So in Linn County, it was Chapter 45, and Steve is going to come up with exactly what those numbers are. And I sent that to him actually earlier today and said, okay, time to do the numbers. But I wanted you to see what the bones of this look like. And basically, we didn't stray too far from what Linn County did, but Steve tightened up the language on some of it concerning one of the things that it did not do was speak to, say, second offense with 1 year of the conviction of the first offense. Linn County just said second offense within the first year of the first offense. Steve didn't feel like that was really tightened up. That was sort of nebulous. So we tweaked several of those kinds of things, and we also included better definitions concerning a cessation product. And one of the things you should understand is cessation products, and this is the FDA wording on this, include things like gum. And Nicorette gum's been out for a long time. Zonic, I think it's called Zonic gum, is also a nicotine, in theory, cessation product, but it is manufactured by the tobacco companies. We don't think they're actually trying to get people to quit that. But that's just me being suspicious and cynical.
That's a whole fox in the hen house thing.
Yeah. So there may not be anything we can do about that, but this is considerably more than what we currently have. And what we will be doing is Story County Prevention Policy Board, once we get the numbers in place, we'll probably come back to you with this, and the representatives from that group, it won't be me, but representatives from the Story County Prevention Policy Board will come before the board and ask you if you would like to partner on this to present to the Board of Supervisors, because ultimately it's up to them. We wanted you to see this ahead of time so that you knew what they're probably going to come and ask you to do. And if you have any somethings, any comments you want moved around, that'd be good too.
Cover those electronic cigarettes.
Yes. It will not cover nicotine, right now, no. Mm-hmm. Right. Lozenges, that kind of thing. Gum, I don't think we can do anything about, but the others, I think, will qualify under this. Mm-hmm. But this is really meant to deal as much as we can with that next generation of nicotine products. And they are a lot of them, and they're in Story County. So I wanted you to be apprised of that. All right. Any questions?
Thank you very much.
Nothing? Thanks.
Next is Homeward, Eileen Mullen.
Oh,
another one.
Oh, shoot, this is, I think I stole mine from last year.
I know you've read, seen all the other ones, too. Okay, I'm Eileen Mullen with Homeward, Story County Public Health. The disc is the Story County Emergency Manual CD. The only change from the previous one is we've tried to update people who have changed in their positions. Otherwise, there isn't any other real changes in that. We probably have added possibly a little bit more about mass fatality, but we're still creating that a little bit more, the meat of it. We will also send these CDs out to all of the important players, which are a lot of people's names who are in the CD. So, like the sheriff, the police chiefs, superintendents, various people in the county. I sent an email a while back for the China HIP, which is the county health needs assessment health improvement plan, and I received emails from, I think, all of you except Paul might have been on vacation. So just for the minutes, just to know that it was approved by all of you would be good. It's the health improvement plan, the summary for where we are to date, and I have a hard copy if anybody wanted it, but essentially I'll just recap. We have a few goals. One is increasing behavioral health, oral health care, and prenatal care services to low-income residents by establishing the community health center, and that's a federal grant would support that. We just turned in some more evidence to say that Story County needs to have that, and folks are somewhat optimistic about that. So we'll just see. And so that's still in place. We have promote healthy lifestyles in the community to reduce prevalence of overweight and obesity. I think with that, I'll just remind you that we have a Story County Quality of Life Alliance, finally called SQALA. Ugly name. This is a group that meets quarterly. It's coalitions and agencies. McFarland, Mary Greeley, all kinds of people are involved in this to promote health and human services in the county.
And it is that group that is focusing on all of these goals, and they're also in the process of taking the community health needs assessment and dusting it off and saying, are we really continuing to work on the right things, and what can we do as a county to do more to help us meet the goals that we have. So I think that's all I'll say on this, unless anybody has anything else. Well, I lied. I might say one more thing. We have the county, the Robert Woods Johnson Health Rankings. I don't know if, as board members, if I've sent to you some of the newest information about where we're at in the county health rankings, or if you get information. So I'll just let you know if you can give you the website for the minutes, and I'll give you a copy of this. It's www.countyhealthrankings.com. And you'll see that our health outcomes and our health factors is compared. We can compare ourselves to other counties here in Iowa as well as nationally. We continue to look for health outcomes. Our overall ranking is 7. When we first started doing this, Robert Woods Johnson, we were at a 6. And then we went to a 3, and now we're at a 7. But out of 99 counties, we're pretty darn good. But, again, we have things that we know that we can do. That includes morbidity and mortality. Health factors is health behaviors, clinical care, social economic factors, and physical environment. Our health factors, we are 2 in the county. So, again, and the one where we see that we have the most opportunity is the physical environment. So that's where we're going to be looking at for the county, physical environment. So that could be probably parks. We don't have smog issues, so it wouldn't be that. It could be things like bike trails. I don't remember what all is in the physical. Oh, you should be into that. Then, let's see, our coalition update. We get a lot of money, well, quite a bit of money. The county gets $60,000, $70,000, $80,000 over the years, each year, for our emergency planning. And if you recall, that the state directed that we should develop a coalition with other counties, and we were talking about who we would create a coalition with. And this coalition would then share the money in the future, but the state had not figured out the details of that, which they still haven't figured that out. But it has come down to that they're going to allow us to make a coalition within our own county. We don't have to go to other counties, and which is good, because there wasn't really any county that wanted to play as long as they didn't know how the funding was going to work. So we are going to have a coalition in our county with Story County Public Health, and right now we're just 2 other players, which would be Story County Hospital and Mary Greeley Medical Center. We'll have a coalition, and then within the coalition we will have, can't remember what the terminology is we're going to use, but interested parties, which would be emergency management, it would be sheriffs, it would be McFarland, it would be ISU, all kinds of organizations that would contribute and help guide us on how we'll spend the money. So right now what we're doing is, Keith was involved quite a bit in the beginning. He's bowed out. He says, yeah, you guys just bring me in when you have the coalition. But the 2 hospitals and myself are creating the MOU. We're required to have an MOU together in our bylaws. And the MOU eventually will be signed by you guys. And then we decide that public health will be the fiscal agent for the county. So we don't know what that looks like in dollars. It's going to keep decreasing, but overall I think it's a good thing. So
that's too bad that we can't have a coalition with some other counties, because we have a really good we're connected to Boone County, and our connection to Marshalltown is really a lot. We share services. I mean, they would be a perfect example.
Yeah, we tried really hard. We invited them to
to the table, and they came, both of those counties, because it came initially that they decided they didn't want to join and be a part of it until they knew how the money was going to be distributed. So what we think will probably happen, I don't know, not really on the record here, but probably... I've imagined that in the future, after we figure out how this is all going to work, that eventually it'll have to be expanded into other counties. I imagine. So, let's see. As far as Terry's report, I handed that to you. Disease, surveillance, influenza. Everything's really mellowing down. We're not having a lot of activity. And the lead program, I'll just point out that as with a lot of funding, it's we're seeing a cut again. And she put here, we're getting at least a 5% cut from what we had last year. And as you can see, in 2010, the funding was about $11,000, and now it's going to be about $4,400. So I don't know what. But I was going to say, it's a good thing we don't have a huge lead problem like some counties, but maybe we don't even know what all the lead problems are because we don't have the funding actually to manage a lot of them. And so for the fiscal part of the report, once again, we're spending our money. We're not having outcome issues, quality outcome issues that I see to point out here. And on the last page is what we have added the last couple of times is how our public health emergency preparedness funds are being spent. And we, again, will not have any problem spending any of these. Right now, a lot of that money is spent on doing exercises and maintaining equipment that the state had allowed us to buy. So when we move forward, I don't know, you know, how that money will be spent. Maybe we'll just be eating that component. So that's all I have for the report.
Thank you.
With sequestration, are they pulling any money back they already gave us?
Not yet. I think they're just saying it's probably not going to come forward. Oh, the summary of the...
No, I think as long as it's in the minutes that she'd heard back from the majority of the members that they have... Yeah,
three out of four?
Yeah. Okay, Environmental Health, Margaret James.
Hello. Let's see. Start off with septic numbers. 10 kind of transfer inspections this year to date. Only one new permit, septic permit, and one repair permit. We have five binding agreements left over from when people couldn't get their systems in during the winter, but yet they still had to sell their property, and seven outstanding notice of violations. So we have about 20 or so applications and permits that are waiting to go into the ground when the contractors can start working. For well numbers, we've already had 10 permits, three of them water, plus three wells and six well inspections. 15.
How do you fill a cistern?
You know, there's no requirement. There's real specific requirements for wells, but cisterns basically break in the bottom so that the water can flow through and then fill it with clean fill. Mm-hmm. Whereas wells, you know, you have to take the curbing down 4 feet below grade, and there's a lot more complications with it. Yeah. Do you have a cistern? Do you have a cistern?
Well, it's a long story.
Okay.
It's a long story.
All right.
It sounds like a very professional thing to do.
Okay. And then we have $15,000 remaining in our grants to counties fund. Usually this time of year we're out of money, so we need to get on our drillers and have them really push our program for us, maybe run an article in the newspaper reminding people that we've got money and to plug it. And it's still the same amount, $400 toward plugging the well. So it costs a property owner, you know, $400 to $700 out of pocket. So, you know, It's expensive to do. Lead cases, like Eileen had mentioned, currently I have 10 open cases, 3 with children residing, and the 7 are, they just leave vacant so they don't have to do the lead reduction. One case has a court date set for August now, and then one case requested a closeout, and I went and did the dust test, and they failed miserably. So I don't know if they think this is magic. It's just going to go away on its own without doing anything about it. But these lead cases, they're tough nuts, I tell you. Let's see. Complaints. We've received a lot of oddball complaints. Mold in Nevada in a rental, that's not an oddball one. That's typical. Mercury, there was a large amount of mercury found in a gentleman's closet. And so they called the health department to learn how to dispose of that properly. Probably an old science teacher that had it stored, you know. That's kind of fun. Open burning citation by DNR. As a seed company, they were burning their seed bags and got busted for that. Composting dead animals. Kathy took that call. Bed bugs in Ames Hotel. We get that pretty common anymore. We get those calls.
Did you find bed bugs?
We don't go out and look. We don't go out and look. But we get reports, and then we report it to inspections and appeals, and they go in and look. And, yeah, they find them. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yep. It was a horse and placement of where they could do that and all. Actually, I'm not sure. Was it composting or burying, Kathy? Yeah.
It really wasn't.
Yeah, so people called and complained, and then they were thinking about doing that.
Nice.
Yeah. Yeah. Legal issues with animal control, so then it kind of came back.
Non-burial, non-composting. It was non-burial, non-composting.
Kind of sitting there, yeah. Yeah. So. Let's see, and then a recent call about the cellulosic plant, the DuPont plant going in Nevada here. They're concerned about the discharges to the creek, and then also the water withdrawals, how that will impact. The DuPont will be getting their water from City of Nevada, and City of Nevada's wells could very well impact private wells because they're, you know, drilling more and pulling more water. And in that same area of those wells, they used to have gauges on all the private wells so that they could monitor the impact from the city wells. So they might have to go back to doing that. I don't know. So that was a big project. We'll have to continue working with her. And then just this morning we got a call from a Maxwell resident about the sewage lagoon odor from the trailer park there. But that's a typical call in the spring because the water's churning over because of the temperature change, and that should take care of itself. Lots of training. I won't go through this whole thing. Matt and Kathy with the pools. Matt with the radon out in Washington. That grant was a grant covered the trip 100%. Let's see, and we all attended the Iowa, the septic annual conference. Subdivisions, I'm sitting on a committee to revise the county subdivision regulations. Charlie is chairing the committee, and what this lays out is when land is subdivided, having a professional soil scientist or an engineer come in and do the site review so that I don't have to go out and do those site reviews. Because when you get a subdivision, sometimes 20 lots, it would swamp me. So anything over 2, I'm requiring an engineer or a soil professional to come in and do the site reviews and design the septic on that. And then what I would also like to add, we're not sure how we can incorporate this legally, but we would like to have existing houses that are part that they're required to subdivide their land, The existing house, I would like to have that septic system inspected so that if it's a pipe to the creek kind of deal, we can stop that at that point instead of waiting until it's time of transfer. Okay. Outreach, set up a coyotes class and testing for the local contractors. I think 18 people attended at least. Hopefully they pass the test, but we haven't gotten the information yet. I'll just remind you, COYOTS is the requirement, certification requirement that this board passed for septic contractors. And if you want to do business in Story County by April 1st of 2015, you'll have to have that COYOTS certification. We attended the Farm Family Expo and had a booth just to get the word out about our services. I met with Gabrielle to discuss confinements for a radio show she's doing. Kathy sent out reminder postcards to the septic owners. Those are the ones that need to have contracts for their technical septic systems. And letter went out to certified drillers and did a presentation to the Hunsaker realtors. Miscellaneous stuff, did the budget workshop. I've been sitting in on the Ames Story County Fringe subdivision discussions. I conducted the evaluations of the staff, reviewed the ESF 11, that's emergency preparedness, went to a goal setting workshop, and then just heard today that the Hickory Grove watershed management plan was approved, so we can go forward with hopefully with 319 funding, although it's not available this year. Hopefully next year that funding will come back available. Coming up, this is my last slide, septic contractors annual meeting here on Friday. Continue to review files for scanning. Presentation at DNR field office, that's next week. Bed bug webinar, more pool tanning and tattoo training. Septic pumper inspections and then field work. It's starting. I did my first site review and I think we're about ready in a week or so. The soil will be thawed out totally, so that'll be good.
So what did you decide on that Hickory Grove situation?
Well, I haven't gotten the paperwork together or anything. I don't have a full plan for that, but so $4,000 goes toward paying for pumping and identifying where the boxes are. So that's our piece of that management plan. Yeah.
Conservation Commission or whatever, they're doing part of that?
Well,
we're going to meet with them the last.
Yeah, their part is more working with the farmers and putting in terraces and getting the animals out of the creek, those kinds of things. And then.
We have so many residents up there that were never inspected or.
Right. And that, yeah, that's all mine. And so Friday I'm going to talk to the contractors when they come and see if anyone's interested in offering deals for pumping or, you know, installing, giving them a reduced group rate or something like that. We have not started contacting the homeowners yet. I'm a little reluctant right now. I know I'm going to get the door slammed in my face. This is the problem. The other problem is that right now the weather just wouldn't allow us to really start doing anything, so we don't want to jump the gun. So I think maybe in about a month we'll get the process rolling on that. The money isn't available until the first of the fiscal year, so I can't really offer any of that till then.
Also, Margaret.
Thank you.
Thanks, Margaret. I don't believe we have any public hearing items. Any staff comments?
Buy rate on test.
Board comments? Motion for adjournment.
So moved.
Motion and second. All in favor?
Aye.
We are adjourned.